Hi, this is Eric, a.k.a. Baron Rosencheckle on the Vault, and you are listening to the one and only Neverwinter Nights podcast.
And this is Patrick Hellfire Robinson, and you are listening to the one and only Neverwinter Nights podcast.
Someone give me a tankard! This is going to get good!
It's the Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at neverwinternightspodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Hello, I'm Dave, a.k.a. Eat the Surf.
And I'm Jay, a.k.a. Navika Naroda. And welcome to episode 56 of the only Neverwinter Nights podcast.
And tonight... Well, first off, how you doing, Jay?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. Got some special projects I've been working on, so that's why you guys haven't seen me around that much. I've also been really keeping up with the AME Dragon Awards, and their nominees they got going on over there. Really excited about some of the pen and paper conversion modules, so I'm going to try to get into some of those and play some of those here in the next few days.
Cool. So you're getting some gaming time in.
I'm trying to. Since this is the Memorial Day weekend here in the States, I have an extra day this weekend, so I'm going to try to make good use of it.
Your wish has been granted.
Exactly.
Sweet.
So what have you been up to?
I've actually been trying to do some building and working on some of my Treasure Island a bit, and actually I'm building an area for a world called Never Summer.
So it's always cold?
Well, I can't tell you what it's about.
okay.
No, it's actually a long time server. They've gone through Never Summer 1, 2, 3, and 4.
And wow.
Never Summer 5 is going to be their Never Winter Nights 2 release.
It sounds like you're busy.
Yeah.
And speaking of busy, our show tonight's going to be chock full of good stuff. We're going to have our interview later on with Patrick, a.k.a. Hellfire, and Eric, a.k.a. Baron, from the Robinson's Workshop.
Oh, the RWS team?
Yes, exactly. So Michelle got a chance to interview those guys, so it's going to be really good.
Sweet.
We got a little bit of news about Purgatorio. It's one of the Planescape Trilogy modules that's been working on. They're going to be set up for beta playtesters in the near future. And if you are interested in applying for that or for a spot in that, you can send an email to rogueDao@gmail.com. That's rogueDao@gmail.com. And let them know your computer system specs and any prior experience or knowledge of modding for Neverwinter Nights 2 or the Planescape universe. And they'll try to get you in there and see if you get one of those spots.
Well, that sounds pretty cool. So did you hear what Tiberius said about Liso?
I read a little bit about it, but go ahead and refresh my memory.
Well, he wrote, we've publicized that the game is about 15 hours long, including side quests.
Hey, which game are we talking about now? Are we talking about Mysteries of Westgate, right?
Right. Mysteries of Westgate.
Okay, right. Okay.
They got to watch her clicking around in there, and he said, Michelle proved that just getting out of the harbor loop after stepping off the ship, which is about 300 yards, can take someone 2 hours when you have the compulsive need to click everything. So I guess Michelle made a pretty good impression over there.
Are they going to revise that to 30 hours of gameplay now instead of just 15?
Oh, it's going to be a gazillion hours.
Here we are having fun at Michelle's expense when she's not here to defend herself. Well, aren't we terrible?
Well, that's what she gets for being obsessive compulsive clicker.
I haven't really got a chance to be up on speed on this exactly, so you may have to help me out on this. But I understand that there is a new contest that the Vault is putting together.
Yeah, the adventure.
Something
pack.
To do with outfitters. Yeah, go ahead. I think you know more about it than I do.
Well, it's actually if you go to the Vault and click on it, there's the little story about the shop owner that has put together adventure packs, and in the past he's put together pack A and sent people out to test it, and they never came back, so he sent out people with pack B, and they came back fairly maimed, so he then, of course, has put together the right tools for adventure pack C, which is the one you'd want to buy and not die out in the woods.
Okay.
And so this contest is a is the shop owner's method of getting together Adventure Pack C without having to kill a whole bunch of characters in the process.
Okay, and I want to make sure that people don't get confused that this is not another Adventure Pack as like the Mysteries of West new module. This is something...
If they're going to have an adventurer which is in need of stuff, and so like the first month they'll say he needs a sword, and so the community sends in sword designs that fit the needs of this special character that'll be at the vault, and then the middle of the month the award comes out for which item is going to be put into the Adventure Pack C, and that will be a community member's item.
Oh, that's very cool. That sounds awesome.
That makes any sense with me just rambling on.
So when Adventure Pack C comes out, you will be a collection of community created items.
Right.
That'll be exciting to see how that goes. Did you say how long that was contest going on? I said it's a monthly contest, so I'm assuming it's going to go on for a while.
Yeah, it's going to be every month. It's supposed to be, I think, in the middle of the month when it awards out, because Hall of Fame's at the beginning or the end of the month. This is going to be something to be in the middle of the month to look forward to.
That's cool. I want to give a shout-out to Kevin Johnson for helping support the podcast. He sent us a donation through our PayPal link. And, Kevin, thank you very much. We appreciate it, and we will put it to good use. If you've enjoyed the show, like Kevin, and would like to, I'd like how I segued that in there, and would like to help us out and support us like Kevin did, you can click the PayPal link on our site and make a donation. I'm also working on some other ways that you might be able to help sponsor the show in ways that aren't really giving money out of your pocket, but money out of someone else's pocket. So you'll see that coming in the future, so keep your eyes peeled for that.
All to keep bringing you the world's only Neverwinter Nights podcast. And in the high fashion high standards you've become accustomed to.
The high standards of mispronouncing people's names.
Right, Jay. Yeah. Jay.
Okay, let's get to Michelle's interview with the Robinson's Workshop.
Well, let's bring it on.
Tonight we have Patrick, a.k.a. Hellfire, and Eric, a.k.a. Baron Rosentekel.
Bingo.
From the Robinson Workshop, or commonly known as our WS team. With a plethora of vault submissions containing custom hacks and prefabs beginning Neverwinter Nights 1 and transitioning to Neverwinter Nights 2. Hi, you guys. How you doing tonight?
Swell. Doing great.
Swell and great. Fabulous. I caught you on a good night.
Yeah.
Okay. Eric, would you like to tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Well, sure. I am an architect in real life. And 47 years old, been playing not so much video games as Pat will probably attest. I always seem to be the grumpy one. Oh, I don't want to play that one. But he got me into Neverwinter Nights 1, and we did some modding there, and then moved on to Neverwinter Nights 2. I am single, have cats, and just generally enjoy life.
You hear that, ladies? He's single. And a modding geek.
And a modding geek, yeah, well.
And you, Patrick, how about you?
I do 3D and 2D artwork for a living. I got into Neverwinter Nights 1 basically for multiplayer and ended up consuming all my time in modding, mostly. I did work for an individual module with Pharaoh for Neverwinter Nights 1 and, of course, the Cave Ruins tile sets. And I just couldn't help myself. Had to move on to Neverwinter Nights 2.
Hey, it's like a natural progression of things.
Indeed.
All right.
I generally play more of a flight sim simulation kind of game.
Ah, I see. I can't play first-person shooters in first-person perspective games. They give me migraines. It's really sad because I miss out on a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it's funny. We never did really a lot of first-person shooters, but Patrick and I had a online squadron in several different flight sim games for a number of years. before Neverwinter Nights came along.
Ah, neat. What made you, I'm going to improv a question here, what made you guys switch to the whole RPG gaming?
Well, I mean, you know, I can't speak for Pat, but for me, I was always into, I mean, I did pen and paper since Chainmail. you know, so, which, you know, for those of you who maybe don't remember, but that was the original staple-bound rules that most of D&D, you know, evolved from. And so I did a lot of pen and paper, and I know Pat did a lot of pen and paper with his group, and I think it just kind of went from there.
Ah. Well, could you both tell me a bit about your modding history, when it got started, and why?
Well, I'm going to leave that one to Pat.
Hey, go for it, Pat.
I started modding for Neverwinter Nights 1 just to see if I could make a creature. My first actual creation of any type was a Thrycreen that I put up on the vault. And after that, I actually found it was more fun to make stuff for the games than play them, actually.
That sounds like a typical modder, creator, custom content. They make stuff, but they don't really play them much.
Well, I started playing Neverwinter Nights 1 in hopes to reunite a pen and paper group because, you know, it's hard to get people together in a house for a game, so I was hoping that would be something that would make it easy for everyone to play. Didn't turn out that way, though.
How did it start for you, Eric?
Well, actually, it started because Pat called me on the phone, or maybe it was over ICQ, I don't recall. But he was working on the cave roof tile set for Neverwinter Nights 1, and he was, I guess, feeling a little bit overwhelmed because there was a lot of tiles. And he said, hey, can you help me out?
Very overwhelmed.
Yeah, he was essentially buried. So he said, hey, can you help me out and work on some of the tiles? So I pretty much did all of the mine tiles. I did the roof beams and the ceilings, and then merged that into the remainder of the tile set. So essentially that's how I got started, was working with him on that, and it was completely his idea. Would have never occurred to me to even think about doing it. But, you know, that was a pretty successful set, and you know, we did some other stuff kind of off and on. But RWS, or at least my you know, participation in Robinson Workshop really didn't become serious until Neverwinter Nights 2.
I've heard that through several interviews that I've done and talking to module creators, module authors, that they don't really get much time to play the player-made modules. How about the custom content people, as in you guys?
Yeah, that's pretty true. For me, anyway.
I try to play mods every now and again. I've played 3 for Neverwinter Nights 2 so far. Well, oh, let me take it back. 2.5.
Oh, I'm sure they'll appreciate the cheap plugs. Which ones?
I played Tomachan by Anoa 4. I played Tratagy at Tratagor and Pool of Radiance Remastered, which I'm about halfway through.
Oh, okay. I won't sit and list the ones I've played so far because we'd be here until next year.
And I do have to state that I did play the first thing. In Neverwinter Nights 1, I was very much into the persistent world thing, and I played on Ablis for years. And eventually became a team member there. I was one of their DMs for a while. When Neverwinter Nights 2 first came out, excuse me, I played on the Known Lands persistent world during their beta test because it was put together by some friends of mine, and most of them are ex-Ablis players, Ablis being a Neverwinter Nights persistent world that some of you may recognize. Anyway, as I was saying, I played on the Known Lands, which is a persistent world in Neverwinter Nights 2 that has tried to maintain a feel of the old pen and paper thing where they have adventure groups and a DM that's specifically for that adventure group. But as far as modules go, and I haven't played on that server for quite a while, as far as modules go, Tragedy at Tragedor is the only one I've done, and to be perfectly honest, I don't think I finished it.
I have played that, and I do believe that there's another one coming out. I'm not positive, but either that or I'm thinking of Night Hells and Nestlehaven. I don't know. There's so many going on right now.
So, yeah, if you had to ask and say, you know, module players don't or module builders don't play. I would generally agree custom content creators probably don't play much either.
You guys I'm sorry. Go ahead, Patrick.
I don't play hardly at all. I'm more building.
You guys are well known for doing tile sets for Neverwinter Nights, too. What are the challenges concerning tile sets?
Why don't you start with that one, Pat?
Working out the variations would be the challenge for me. You can lay out a base tile set, but then you have to think about, well, what would be good differences? How many is too many? Where do I stop?
Gee whiz, where would I go? What are the challenges with tile sets? I mean, there's a lot of things about tile sets that are easy as compared to, for example, say, you know, creatures or maybe even some placeables. There's a lot of freedom in tile sets. But one of the things that I think is the biggest challenge is coming up with something, you know, interesting that people will want to use. And also, you know, being an architect, and again, this is, you know, I go through this all the time, and I think Pat's actually kind of, you know, talked to me about it a few times. I spend a lot of time worrying about the feel. When you're actually in character and you're running through the hallways and maybe you're down looking over your shoulder, and if anybody who's used our tile sets will recognize that you could pretty much identify an RWS tile set. It has really high ceilings and lots of volume. Mm-hmm. and I really – the challenge for me is creating a tile that I think feels like it could be real. You know, like the roof, you don't ever ask yourself what's holding that ceiling up.
Right.
You know, but is also – still kind of fantasy, and that's really the challenge for me, because I always fall back on, well, there's no way that ceiling would be held up. And I
so in other words, realistic structure.
Yeah, realism versus fantasy is the challenge for me, because I've thrown away a lot of tiles that were incredibly real but would be difficult to play in because they'd be so crowded with structure.
Could you guys explain pocket tile sets and what makes them different from regular ones?
Well, pocket tile sets was, I think, initially my idea, and
yep, sure.
but it came from a conversation that Pat and I had where we realized that, you know, we were making these full-size tile sets, and it was taking us months, literally months, to put together a tile set. And I thought, well, you know, we could make a tile set out of 10 tiles that you'd be able to do, you know, enough with. It wouldn't be vast, but you'd be able to do enough with it. And the whole concept was to be able to do these and maybe it hasn't really been totally successful, get them out more often and create more more content that's varied.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's what I believe.
Would you like to add anything to that, Pat?
No, that about sums it up.
Oh, okay, great. What are some of the current projects you guys are working on? Are you willing to talk about it?
Yeah, but I'll let Pat talk about his stuff.
Okay.
I have a couple of things in the works. I've started on a Grell creature. I'm not that great at animation, so I'm kind of slacking on it, but I do want to produce at least some creatures for Robinson Workshop. One of the things I had thought about is attempting to recycle Neverwinter Nights 1 creatures. I'm pretty sure that effort could be put into recycling at least the animations.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also working on some miscellaneous placeables, TPs, primitive type housing, primitive structures, pyramids, things like that. And I have a jungle tile set ruin in the works.
Oh, neat.
And that was supposed to be a pocket tile set that I have yet to finish.
and you, Eric?
Yeah, one of the things that we run into a lot is we run into scope creep, where, you know, we start with something, oh, that'll be a good pocket tile set, and then we realize that we've got 35 or 40 tiles. And by that time, you've got a full-blown tile set. but, yeah, his Jungle Ruin set is just crazy awesome, if you ask me. We've got pictures. I think he's got some screenshots of it up on our forums. I'm just putting the finishing touches on our dungeon tile set. This is a full-blown tile set. Probably, 40-some-odd tiles and maybe three or four good-sized meta tiles in it. and about a half dozen or more placeables to go with it. And I'm hoping I can release that in two weeks or so. I got to send a door off to Pat to animate for me.
What kind of dungeon setting?
Well, again, you know, big volumetric ceilings. But I think a nice kind of creepy feel, and I think it has a lot of potential. Obviously, tile sets in Neverwinter Nights 2 are different than those in Neverwinter Nights 1 because they come empty, and you mm-hmm. populate them with your own placeables. But I have some kind of neat cages and stuff. I kind of took some influence from, if everybody remembers, the Planet of the Apes with the big spiked bars around the cages and the doors. So I kind of took some influence from that and created some doors and some cages and such.
Oh, nifty. I've seen Planet of the Apes, so I'm getting a good visual here.
Yeah, so I mean, that kind of feel, actually I think that was beneath the Planet of the Apes to be technical, but that's the kind of feel I'm looking for as far as the cages and the bars and whatnot, something with lots of sharp, pointy objects on it. But for the most part, you know, it's very similar to other tile sets. It's a little dirtier, a little dingier, I think. And it has some pit tiles in it. No multi-level on this tile set. But I think it'll go over pretty well. And then after that, I have my going to be another pocket tile set is going to be the pocket ship interiors. I'm going to do some interiors of ships.
Oh, neat.
Because I think that's something a lot of people are looking for. And so I'm going to do a pocket tile set of that, and that shouldn't take too terribly long, I think, since, you know, I'm going to need only one or two wood textures, and that'll about cover it.
So you'll be able to enter the ship and have interior instead of just being a static placeable.
Right. These will be interiors. Obviously, the builders would probably need to put a transition right at the door going into the forecastle or the stern. And then there will be placeable interior tiles for the decks below. There won't be any above deck stuff in this tile set.
Okay, you guys have kind of answered this already, but will you continue focusing on tile sets, or will we be seeing any other new things in the future?
Well, actually, I think Pat already hinted to some of the stuff that we're looking forward to doing in the future.
Yeah, recycling. I think there's several creatures from Neverwinter Nights 1 that never made it to Neverwinter Nights 2.
Quite a few, actually. And there's some on the vault that are already skin meshed. So those are already pretty prime for being converted.
Mm-hmm. How do you guys feel the community has responded to your work?
Oh, I'd say stellar.
Yeah?
I think we've gotten a lot of really great feedback from community members. I know we have, there must be at least three persistent worlds that are using our material. We've even had a couple of persistent worlds ask us for individual placeables just for their world. We don't normally do that, but, you know, these guys have been, you know, testing our stuff and sending us, when they find errors, they send us a quick notice, and it just makes it easier on us, I think. Mm-hmm. Don't you think, Pat?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm very pleased with how the community has responded to the stuff, and it makes me happy when I see people using it and getting enjoyment out of it.
So have you guys checked out any of the current custom content in the community, and how do you think it's going?
I think it's going kind of slow. I'm hoping to see it pick up quite a bit to the level of Neverwinter Nights, I hope. Neverwinter Nights 1, that is.
Well, it had five, 6 years strong before Neverwinter Nights 2 came out. And I really, truly believe the community is picking up. I think it just in this past year, I've seen a lot more activity.
Yeah, you're seeing more and more content on the vault. I think that's a very good thing. I think that Neverwinter Nights 2 will catch up and be equal to Neverwinter Nights 1.
I do too.
Yeah, I think you could make the argument that it started out slow, but I think that a lot of it had to do with, you know, there's still a lot of people who really enjoy Neverwinter Nights 1, who are still modding for Neverwinter Nights 1 because there's still an audience for that.
Right.
But I would tend to agree that things are picking up. I mean, you look at the Beholder. We're starting to see creatures now. We're starting to see stuff with animations.
I love it.
It's easy for me to look at the Beholder. I just kind of turn my head around and look at his screen.
Yeah, I know. but I had to mention it because it's really, if you think about it, it's the first major bit of creature that's come out.
Right.
You know, I mean, I think the Ablis team has done some, you know, some pixies and lizard men player races. But for the most part, you know, it's been pretty, you know, pretty thin as far as creatures coming. And I think the Beholder just shows that it is possible. It can be done. And I think that's really what was needed, was somebody to just say, hey, you know what? You can do this.
What, in your opinion, could be done to push custom content Neverwinter Nights further? Neverwinter Nights 2, to be precise.
That's kind of hard to answer because they're actually, you know, when you go out and look, there's a fairly good cross-section of stuff that's been done. But I think one of the things that I hear the most is people are not seeing, tutorials and explanations on how to use, for example, the Obsidian plugin Expertron.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if there was something a little bit more forthcoming in documentation or tutorials, you might get some of those people who've been sitting on the fence who are capable of doing it but really want to just get rolling. They don't want to have to figure stuff out.
Right. Well, it's a big undertaking, especially when you're doing something for free.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that would probably – that's the only thing I can think of that would be the biggest push, because people are going to do it or they're not. But if you make them have to, like, work out how to do it, that's going to be a bigger obstacle, I think.
And you guys are doing some building for Rogue Deo, correct?
Yeah.
Were we allowed to talk about that or not?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, to a certain degree, we obviously don't.
I won't ask for specifics, but how's that going for you?
Yeah, we don't want to reveal any secrets of what's going to be coming up in Purgatoria. But yeah, we've been working on tile sets for them.
They have tile sets and placeables.
Well, that'll be really cool. I know that people are just waiting in bated breath for this to come out because it's such a huge project.
It's monster.
Yeah, it's amazingly huge project. And I'm, for one, been looking at the date getting pushed back and saying, oh, okay, fine, I'll just go play something else for now.
Yeah. Well, you know, Monty actually came out and said that it's going to release. I don't remember the exact date, but he said come hell or high water, it's releasing on a specific date.
Oh, wow.
So you could go back and search it somewhere in the forums. I know I've seen it.
Okay.
But I don't remember what the date was.
Monty actually hosted the show with us at the beginning of the year.
Did he?
Yes, from Obsidian when he first got hired.
Oh. Oh, very good. You know, I actually saw Monty on Thursday. I was at the Obsidian offices.
Yeah, everybody can get jealous. Okay, you know what? We could do this in the interview. What's it like visiting Obsidian?
Well, I mean, Obsidian is, I think, when you're there, it's kind of what you imagine a video game studio to be like. You know, everybody is pretty much dressed the way they want to dress, and they've got, you know, nice dual screen systems. And
that is so great.
Yeah, I went out and had lunch and a beer with Rob on Thursday. He's, I think he's a good guy.
Well, he seems like a good guy. He's fun to talk to. He's fun to chat with. Well, is there anything you guys would like to add tonight?
And they were really ready to answer questions and just about anything we asked them.
Wow.
Yeah, the one thing that, I mean, Pat kind of skirted across it. He said he was working on some primitive placeables, but once I'm done with the dungeons and the pocket ship interiors, he and I are going to start taking off on a what I kind of call like a Mesoamerican themed placeable pack.
And it's gonna be terrible for forgetting to mention that.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, Aztec, Maya, Egyptian. Okay.
Egypt, oh, nifty.
Mesoamerican. Okay, you know, technically Egypt isn't Mesoamerican, but
no.
You know, that kind of influence. And we want to do a fairly, you know, sizable, placeable package for that. And because, to be perfectly honest, tile sets are all very fine and well, but, you know, we need to do something different or we're going to get tired.
Yeah.
So we're going to kind of break away from tile sets for a little bit, I think, after the three that we have on the board right now. God, that sounds crazy.
Yeah, we're going to wrap the jungle soon.
Yeah. We have three tile sets on the boards that we're planning or doing. Those are going to get finished up, and they're going to move on to placeables for a little while. And then who knows what happens after that. Pat may actually convince me to do monsters.
Hey, that's encouraging. When do I start bugging you on ICQ for that one?
Oh, hey, here's another thing you can add to the future projects.
Uh-huh.
You can let your listeners know that this weekend I will be uploading the RWS All-in-One Pack.
Oh.
This is every single thing we've done, with the exception of the snow textures that Pat did before Motby came out, because there's not much point in uploading those at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But this is every single thing we've done to date, all in one hack.
Hey, and you heard it here on Neverwinter Nights podcast.
I've got the information from Maximus. I'm going to upload it this weekend.
Sweet. That should be quite handy. I'm interested in your dungeon, because I need to come up with a really cool, nifty dungeon for Stygius.
Well, you know, you can go to our forums and you can see screenshots of the dungeon. All of the stuff that we work on, we show in-progress screenshots to the people that visit our forums so they can see what's going on. And we actually, you know, believe it or not, we'll actually accept people's suggestions. Oh, you know, that really looks great, but this looks dumb. We had a little bit of that on the dungeons, I must admit, but I fixed it.
Extra pair of eyes helps.
Well, I'm all about constructive critiquing. It's the people who get on there and say, you know, this sucks.
You know what?
Your stuff sucks, and they don't tell you anything as to why.
We have had none of that. Everybody who's logged into the RWS forums has been nothing but helpful, have given us good suggestions, requested a few things sometimes we couldn't, you know, respond to, but sometimes we could. You know, I think that the forums have been really important to the quality of the stuff that we put out. I think every time we've released something, it's gotten better than the last time.
Well, we will have your link to Robinson Workshop, your external forums, and we will also have the link to all of your downloadables on the Vault, because they have that wonderful nifty page, you know, that you can just go see all of it.
You know, there's actually two of us, though, have submitted under RWS, so it's two separate pages.
Oh, well, how about you guys, one of you send me both links? That way I can make sure they're both in there.
You don't even need to do that. You can go to our forums. There's a page on the general discussion that says Robinson Workshop content, and it's got all of our links.
Oh, great.
To everything we've uploaded. If you can't find that, just look for one of my posts on the forums, because I have a link to it.
Oh, fantastic.
In my signature.
Make it easier for everybody.
Yeah, I did that for my own use, because it's easier for me to chase everything down. And I thought, well, you know, while I got this list, I'll just post it up in that way. So we keep it up to date.
I have everywhere that I go to on a regular basis perfectly bookmarked to take me to the exact page I want it to. So I know what you're talking about.
Yep. Well, I put it up there on the forums, I don't know, months ago, and I keep it up to date. And it has everything we've released up into and including, I think, the last thing, which was Pocket Cathedrals, I think, was the last release.
Well, Pat and Eric, I would like to thank you guys for coming tonight. It was quite a joy. It was a great interview. And I'd like to tell listeners, if you download their stuff, comment, vote, and give them some encouragement, because they'll just keep on going.
And we're back. You back? You with me, Jay?
I'm here. Oh, yeah.
Had you mesmerized.
You did. So that's it for this show. Thanks for listening. And next week, be sure to join us when we talk to Dave. Who are we going to talk to next week?
Frank, a.k.a. Alesius. And Frank is the author and creator of Battle of the Builds. It's up to version 1.17.
He also did the Vampire Hack Pack.
That's right. That's right. And and power builds of the arena.
Yeah, so that'll be a good show there, too.
They're all good shows.
They are. So quality just keeps getting better.
So until next week,
get in game
and level up.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. You can also leave an audio comment or listener hello by calling us on Skype. Just call NWN Podcast, all one word. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees. The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of These Old Geeks, who is solely responsible for its content.
For now, I say we crack some of those kegs and drown the flagon in wine.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is copyright 2008.
All knobs go all the way to 11.
Why don't you just make 10 louder?
But all knobs go all the way to 11.
Glass cannon.
Huh? What are you talking about?
Huh? Dude.
My pet noodle of Dr. Man. Dr. Man. Shiny. My pet noodle of Dr. Man. Dr. Man. Shiny.
Ha 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 ha!